O Word of God made flesh, be with us this hour as we ponder your word. Guide us by the light of your grace through these dark times on into the eternity, the paradise you have prepared for us. Amen. For our consideration, we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you want to leave too? You do not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life." Every day, somewhere, couples get divorced. Bernie and Millie Felder stood before God's altar filled with love and excitement. They wept tears of joy as they slid rings on each other's finger. They made their promises to take care of each other in sickness and in health. They promised to love each other in good days and bad. With all their heart, they vowed to cherish each other right up until one of them died. They cried tears of pain when they signed their divorce papers. So what happened to those happy days and that awesome commitment to each other? What does it take to break up a wedded couple? How many disagreements and arguments? How much disgust over such things as personal habits, too much alcohol, fits of anger and rage, drugs, video games taking time away from relationships, pornography, physical or mental abuse, child abuse, or unfaithfulness? What causes the wow to turn to ugh? There is always such pain when someone deserts the marriage. Jesus inspired excitement, the wow, when he began his ministry. Yet the ugh entered the hearts of some. His own rejected him. For 2 years, crowds regularly followed Jesus, eagerly watching him perform miracles and listening to his sermons. Shortly after, he had fed a crowd the size of a college basketball arena of 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The people began to think that they should make Jesus their king. They were even making plans to take him by force, probably so they could keep him there at the Sea of Galilee and get all that free food and maybe also be free of disease. Keep in mind that all of these people were part of God's chosen nation. They knew that God had promised a Savior, and they were looking at Jesus as that promised one. It's tragic that their expectations were for a Savior who would give them food and health. Many of their spiritual leaders had stopped listening to Scripture. They had turned their backs on the beautiful promises of a Savior from sin and the giver of eternal life. They had turned God's promises into a prediction of a king who would throw out the hated Roman rulers and create a kingdom on earth with unlimited strength, wealth, food, and health. The priests and prophets were teaching false doctrines of the worst kind to the people, that they could somehow get to heaven by trying to be good people and following the law. How could that have happened? An enemy had been at work. He had attacked the Bible. Satan had convinced the spiritual leaders with a lie, to reject Jesus. Many others of Jesus' people chose to do the same. Jesus resisted their efforts to make him a king and withdrew from them. The next day, the crowd found Jesus and had many questions. The subject turned naturally to bread. That's when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Wow. They had bread on their minds. But the bread Jesus gave them was so different from what they expected. He told them that he had come from his Father in heaven, but he was not here to restore the great kingdom of David. He was the bread from heaven, and all who ate the bread from heaven, that is, who took him in by faith, would live forever. He would raise them up on the last day. There is no other Savior besides him. But the crowd seemed to stop listening. If we had been there, we could have felt the enthusiasm go out of the huge crowd. Like at a football game when the visiting team scores the winning field goal as the clock runs out. Many turned around and headed home. But it wasn't just the crowd who walked away. Jesus had a group of disciples whom he had loved. He had taught them of his Father's love. But the words of Jesus, the bread from heaven, were difficult to understand. How could he claim to give them eternal life? John writes, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Later he writes, after this, many of the disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. It's heartbreaking that some of his disciples would desert him. There were people who had walked all those miles with Jesus, had slept on the ground many nights, had eaten with him, and had seen as many miracles. Jesus is the most fascinating person who has ever walked on the face of the earth. When he spoke, it was with divine authority that no human had ever heard before. This was the Savior of the world who had come to offer his perfect life in exchange for our sin at the battle on Calvary. He was getting ready for that battle and had been preparing the troops to carry on. Some of them turned their backs and were done with him. They did not believe that they needed Jesus for eternal life. They rejected him, his authority, and his grace. They divorced themselves from him. The wow had turned to ugh. This is just sad when his own reject him. Satan still hates Jesus, and as much as he can, still fights hard against him. The devil still works to alienate people from God by establishing false religions, such as Islam, Hinduism, atheism, materialism, and many more. All of them offering some sort of path to God or a substitute for God, a path that leads only to hell. Satan has also made inroads into the Christian church, spreading false doctrine, attacking the Bible, and using critics of Christianity in the media, in universities, and in politics to damage and destroy saving faith. Today, with the coronavirus on everyone's mind, the devil tempts Christians to doubt God's love. Our sinful natures want Jesus to be a savior of the stock market, the God who keeps all infections in China, the Lord who makes America the most powerful and prosperous nation in the world, just like King David's empire. But Jesus uses sickness and suffering to sober us from worshiping ourselves, our pleasures, our money, or our power. In these hard and confusing times, are even Christians going to walk away from the Lord? Jesus put the question to each of us. You do not want to leave too, do you? Just like his disciples of old, Jesus gives us the opportunity to make a clear answer. Do we hesitate? Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I love Peter here because he is so right on. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus' gracious words of life draw us ever closer to him. Throughout all of time, a person's fate has been determined by whether he or she believes God's word or not. When Jesus' words confuse us or challenge us or calls us sinful, do we put ourselves over him, sitting in judgment of what he says? Or do we humbly bow before him and acknowledge that his word and will reign over everything? Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." False prophets direct our attention away from Jesus and onto ourselves. It is ridiculous for us to look to ourselves for any purity, even when God is shaking our nation, and even when it is a season of repentance in the Christian church, even now there is no shortage of sinning. We turn our back on God, when we do not listen to his word, when we doubt his promises, and when we disobey his commands. But listen to Jesus' mysterious words when he hung on the cross, when our sins were hanging on him, when someone else turned away from him. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was out of sin that we have turned our back on our Savior. It was for punishment that the Father withdrew himself from Jesus. He was punished for all the times we have rejected him. Jesus was forsaken so that we would be accepted, so that the Father would never turn away from us. Jesus' gracious words of life draw us ever closer to him. Jesus declared, "It is finished." As fantastic as it sounds, the work of saving us from our sins is finished, accomplished. God is shaking up our world. We have taken so much for granted, even our ability to go to church. Now we will have to put more effort in hearing God's word and worshiping his name. It is easy at this time to slip away from our Savior. Oh, may the God of heaven and earth give us a holy grit and determination to follow our Savior on to eternity. Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen.